311. Good afternoon. This is the 311 Radio Show coming from you live from Barbados. And a pleasant day to each and every one of you in the hearing of my voice, those of you in Barbados, those outside of Barbados, to all our VOB listeners, welcome. We thank you for once again joining us. Now, we know last week we had our guests, and I don't think I should be using the word guests anymore. We had our friendly voice, none other than Divisional Officer Patrick Edwards from the Southern Division, and he gave us an earful to listen to. And we know how that program ended, with me saying, you know what, he is going to be back, we have to continue this. And of course, true to my word, loyal to my word, shows integrity, I made sure I dragged him back here screaming and whatever else. He was delighted to get this information over. I mean, if it is one officer, as I can keep saying, that I can call on and know that he's going to answer the call. And we know we're in safe hands when he's on duty, is none other than Divisional Officer Patrick Edwards. So, sir, have I blown your ego enough today?
Oh, dear. It is stretched. Good afternoon. Good morning, wherever you are. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Yes. So, as we would have ended last week, I mean, we ended on such a high note, we did not want the program to stop. Can you remember where we stopped?
Yes, I remember the last thing that I spoke about was radios. I think that's the last word that I got in last week, radios.
Absolutely correct. Yes.
But this program today, because we had started to look at the preparation for the hurricane season, but we have so much more going on in the Southern Division that I prefer to highlight today. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to say to you that I had a drive through the area, I will not call the area,
all
today,
right.
And I was very happy to see some changes. And I always hear people say that radio works.
Yes.
And in this case, clearly VOB worked.
All right.
Because I am seeing some improvements. You know, some of the brush that people have just cut and left to dry.
Mm-hmm.
I am seeing some of that grass being removed.
Sweet.
And that is very, very encouraging for us. But I have another problem, and that is why I want to focus a lot today on some of the vulnerabilities that we have. And what we are talking about right now are some of those hazard factors, mm-hmm, in terms of fire, and that's the one that I'm going to focus on a lot today. I think just last night we had another structural fire somewhere in St. James, I learned.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
Damaging one house completely destroyed, but again, about four houses being affected by that.
And that is why we said last week we were talking about exposures.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those houses that were destroyed slightly or whatsoever we're going to say, those were exposures. And that is exactly what we have going on in the Southern Division if it happens. I am still unhappy though that I'm still seeing lots of these, and I don't want to call the people cars the derelict, because I am a mechanic and I am not going to go there. But what I can say to you, I am seeing vehicles still parked in dry grass. And
vehicles without engines, them ain't got no wheels. In some cases, they ain't got no transmission. When you walk on them, movable vehicles, them ain't derelict.
I know that I am not going there. And if you want heads to roll, somebody only has to start a fire in that area, and these cars are damaged, and then all of a sudden, the cars got owners.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah,
it was functioning. It was just working for this. It was just waiting for this part.
Yes, of course. Of course.
But it was there for the last 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely. So that is why I want for persons to pay attention to that, because we do not want those problems if, mm-hmm, we can get ahead of it. But I had the chance to go into one or two homes. I almost called the area because I don't want the people identified, because as we all know, the fire service does not have jurisdiction
that is
over
private residential
absolutely
homes.
Mm-hmm. In other words, we cannot come and demand to inspect your premises. But what we rely on...
It's an invitation.
Absolutely.
An invitation. Ever so welcome,
wait for a call. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I was really happy that I had the opportunity to verify what I suspected and what I observed. Mm-hmm. But unhappy at some of my findings. So I was very, very clandestine in my approach. So in other words, I was having a conversation, but I was actually looking around. Eh?
Oh, yes!
And I am going to start first of all, you know, many years ago, I was having a presentation to some gear guides. No, not gear guides, they're brownies.
They're brownies, yes.
Uh-huh. And this little girl asked me a question. And I want you, LF, to listen to this question. And I want the public and those persons hearing this program to listen to the question. You can draw any inferences that you want to draw from the question, but listen to the question. She said, "Sir, may I ask?" I said, "Go ahead." She said, "Is it true that if your house burned down, government would give you back a house?"
Ooh.
I was dumbfounded for a little while because at that particular age, maybe 6 or 7.
That's a loaded question coming
from
a child.
That is a very loaded question.
Yes.
And it made me ask myself some questions. Is it that that little child overheard conversations
within the home?
Within the home. And the child is now wondering, is this real?
True? Yes.
You know, so she saw a firefighter. So she used the opportunity to get some clarity on the particular issue.
And now, I'm very glad that she did that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and that is why I am actually drawing a parallel with what I observe, mm-hmm, and that question, because when I saw what I saw yesterday, that question came back to me.
And you don't know how many people are of the belief that, you know what, in the event that their homes do burn, government can give them back something.
Pray tell me. I mean, we do not have the resources. And when people hear that they have got to pay additional taxes, it is an issue. But
oh, yes, it is an issue. I get real vexed. We are keep pretending.
But the reality is, the more that we demand of government,
the more we have to put out as well.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know? And a house does not jump down out of the air. That is a cost. And then when we have to pay for it, then we are up in arms. So the reality is that homeowners must accept a great deal of responsibility to ensure that nothing untoward occurs at their little dwelling.
I see Miss Brown just walked through the door, so she didn't hear you say that. Mm-hmm. So repeat that part for Miss Brown who just came in.
I am going to be very blunt here. You know, I just talk and forget. I get old, don't you?
You just have some timers, you know?
Yeah, understand
some
what I'm
timers.
Saying. But you know, in all seriousness,
yeah,
people got this view that automatically if they lose a home, that all they have to do is to call their parliamentary representative.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular person, man or woman,
cuts a ribbon
and open
and
a new
home
for
you. Them.
You know?
Yes.
Far, far, far from the truth. It is headache to be able to pick up from where you were. You really think, LF, seriously, you really think that all those people that we see in the city area that is walking around and some people will call it making a pest.
Those homeless persons.
You really think that those persons volunteer to be in that situation?
Of course not.
No.
Of course not.
You know, some of those persons were actually...
Fire victims. Yeah.
But the reality is that once you reach a certain age and you do not have the financial standing or strength,
mm-hmm,
how can you approach a financial
institution? It is fact.
For
capital to invest in you, knowing that you are so high risk, you are not able to pay back. Nobody's going to invest in you.
What is your recourse? Your recourse is to go there, probably on the streets.
If you don't have family who are willing to take you in, then yes, that's it.
Absolutely.
On the street.
You know, one of our ex-station officers, I will call his name, Gordon Boxill, he was actually speaking in a fire safety program that we were doing at a hotel on the West Coast a couple of years ago. And he indicated then that the fire service did a study many years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to determine repeat persons that had repeat experiences with house fires. Mm-hmm. And you would be surprised to know that a high percentage of those persons have had fires on more than one occasion.
That part I don't believe. Uh-huh. I'm not willing to believe because for me it is, if I have a fire, mm-hmm. it's like they say, once bitten, twice shy. Mm-hmm. So you're going to do everything now in your power mm-hmm. to ensure, if you're able to get back on your feet again, that it mm-hmm. doesn't happen again.
You know, unfortunately, and we don't have the time for the back and forth today because we only have half of an hour. But when he actually espoused some the experience, and they will not give people ideas, mm-hmm. Some of those persons were from what we call the lower bracket, economic bracket of the country, you know, of the island. And it seems as though when you are renting a property, you don't seem to think that
the property is yours. You don't see it as
yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you find too that people are very selective about who they allow
to rent property.
Their property, yes. and all that. You know, so we can talk about this an entire day, but I've got some more things that,
yes,
I really
for sure.
want to talk. One of my major concerns is the amount of clutter, or what we call the poor housekeeping. And you know, some of these persons, I believe, work, and I'm sure that if they go to work a morning or evening or whatever the case may be, and they recognize that something is out of place, they're very quick to draw it to management's
attention. Oh, yeah.
That this is not right, mm-hmm. and that is not right. You know, I can call the fire service and all that. But at their homes, when you look into some of these homes, you are seeing clothing.
Come out things.
Paper, mm-hmm. newspapers are talking about, mm-hmm. thrown all over the place. But all of these things are what we call fire load, or fuel to the fire.
Fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm. And once a fire starts, automatically, it is going to cause for that fire to spread through that home so quickly. And then, just as you gave those statistics about 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. where Christchurch area,
Christchurch and St. Michael and St. Philip
are really high
in terms of the residential fires and
absolutely.
Such like, yes.
You know, so we have got to do better than that. We can do better than that.
But the funny thing about it is that if you look at these areas too, there are the more highly dense populated areas, mm-hmm. which means that at the end of the day, that if something happens at me, mm-hmm. automatically I impact you.
Exposure.
Vulnerability. So you don't have to do anything.
Absolutely.
But because of my waywardness, my mm-hmm. carelessness, mm-hmm. my lack of good proper housekeeping, mm-hmm. I've now caused you to also lose your home.
Absolutely. You know? And some of the homes still do not have smoke alarms. I tell people you can get a smoke alarm for $20 or less.
$20.
You know?
$20. I don't know about the less now. About $20. $25.
Of course. You know, and not that it will prevent a fire from coming to you.
No, it doesn't. But what does it do?
It promotes that situational
Thank
awareness.
Thank you. And you that know? Is what you need.
Absolutely. And we need to be our brother's keepers still, especially when we live mere feet away from one another.
Not feet, nothing. You open your window, I can't open mine the same time. We got coordinate.
Yes. I open today, you open tomorrow.
Exactly.
So anything that visits me will certainly visit you. So if I'm hearing a smoke alarm at you, then that is an early opportunity for me to get up and check and see if you're at home, number one. Number two, if you're not at home, maybe, and because you're so close, really and truly, your family.
Exactly.
You know, I should be able to access your home to see
what is going on.
Because if it is affecting you, it is going to affect me.
But that calls for a certain trust level,
yes.
also.
And that was old Barbados, though.
That was
old Barbados was like that.
But you could leave home and leave the doors open.
Absolutely. And tell your neighbor, like when they tell me come back, and when you come back, guarantee your home is well looked after and you don't have any issues. I know we don't have that type of a society anymore, but we all got to come together
and work together
when it comes to that fire safety aspect. You know, refrigerators, and I don't want to leave without making this particular point.
Now, for my persons in the Bayville area, the Bayville community area, I hope you're listening. We're talking about refrigerators.
I was startled when I recognized that there are some homes that have refrigerators plugged directly into the outlet.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
A few months ago, I think that was sometime late last year, we had a fire that started because of a refrigerator.
And people find it absolutely difficult to believe that a fridge, something that keeps things cool,
yeah,
would be able to start a fire.
Absolutely. Because many years ago, when you purchase a refrigerator, you used to be given a transformer at that particular juncture. Nowadays, if you go to buy a refrigerator,
that is a separate
That's a separate cost. So, Miss Joe, poor person she is, she gone and she paid on this refrigerator, asked about the transformer, and they say, well, that's another
additional $150,
$250. Absolutely. So Miss Joe said, so it can't work without that. But that person might say to her, but yes, it can work. But what that person did not explain are what are the ramifications of that activity, you know? And the importance of that transformer cannot be understated, because really and truly, that transformer is used for what we call stepping up or stepping down voltage. So it's like a regulator of sorts. But if it is plugged directly into the outlet,
there is nothing to regulate. And I keep trying to explain to persons, if you think in terms of electricity and you look at the EG, or when I say EG monitor, heart monitor, where you see on television the spikes up and down, letting you know the person is still alive, electricity flows basically like that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The person seems to think it is this flat line. Flat line means for anything dead.
Absolutely. There you go.
So, again, we have spikes and we have low voltage at all points in time. It doesn't happen at any specific time. And that is the purpose of the regulator. Now, you said the fridge. I've also noticed stoves. Some stoves also carry, the electric stoves also carry this regulator as well to help regulate.
Then
we ask, when the electricity goes off suddenly, when will my appliance come back on? Because it has been shocked.
Yes, correct. You know, and that is something that we all must be conscious of. And I also want to remind people that when it comes to that, now you have got to go and face the store all over again.
Yep.
Or, because they don't want people to think that it's only for a refrigerator, because chances are there is a strong possibility of a fire starting because of that.
That is true.
You know, I've observed a home already that had a refrigerator instead of the living room, and it's being powered by
extension cord. No.
You understand? So, these are things that will not happen in the workplace. Because
we have the Shaw's Act that regulates
absolutely
these things.
But there's no regulatory board or for the home. So we've got to be conscious. You know, we know inside of the workplace that there must be fire extinguishers. Do you have at home? No.
That's a high possibility for majority of people? No.
Absolutely.
So
we have got to be a little bit more circumspect. We got to be able to step back a little bit and really think about some of our actions, because it is not easy picking up after the ashes, you know. I think about all of the things that you are losing in that one event, you know. Depending on the size of the house, 7 to 40 minutes, totally engulfed.
Yep.
Everything is gone.
That you worked years, sometimes two, three jobs.
But listen, and you know what is amazing? Some people reach the age of retirement and they still have a mortgage to complete.
That is a fact.
You know? And can you imagine? Because of one, all over again? How is it possible?
I think that's the one that would drive you to your grave.
Thank you very much. You know? So spare talk for some of those persons that we see on the road and all that. But also spare talk for what you can do to ensure that it does not happen
to you.
You know? I was doing a presentation at a church about a couple of years ago. And no, it was not a church. It was a workplace. And this young lady said to me, but Mr. Edwards, don't you think that the fire service should do more of these presentations that you're doing? Because I am learning so much from what you are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I smiled. I said to her, tell me something. You go to church? She said, yes. I said, tell me, if you're a pastor, priest, or whatsoever, say to you, the fire service will be having a presentation at the church on Wednesday night. Tell me honestly, how many people are going to come?
You just hit the nail on the head.
She paused.
You said a couple years ago, I can date back to last week, because mm-hmm. it was the 1st of June.
Uh-huh.
I had a community outreach program to do within a particular area,
uh-huh.
thanks to the Rotaract Club, for uh-huh. those of you who are listening. And I figure for me, hearing for your safety, everybody who owns a home would come out to hear the information.
Mm.
I can count on this hand the amount of individuals
yeah.
who it doesn't seem to be a priority for people.
Only when it visits them. Only when the fire visits them. Then, and only then they recognize the seriousness of it.
Because you know, within the department, we have had outreach programs trying to host in different mm-hmm. areas. And the turnout was disappointing.
Absolutely. And those persons that are present are saying, but I am so sorry that more people...
You know what
I had to resort to be able to get the message out? Because it is probably one of the few ways that we can get into the home.
Mm-hmm.
I have had quite a few episodes where I actually took over the pulpit, so to speak, of a church. That is why one of my colleagues...
The church is still standing?
Yes, it is. Of course. I think it is stronger. But all seriousness, mm-hmm. The priests and the pastors actually gave me their slot.
Their lead way.
Yes, to speak, you know? And then you can hear people, whoa. But I did not know that, you know. So we have got to, as a fire department, I think we have got to strategize and develop other methods of being able to reach
our audience.
Homes.
Yes, or,
you know, it is going to be hard. I don't know if we have the resources, because that falls under your.
Well, let me talk to my pastor. No, pastor, taking over the sermon Sunday.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, we need to find other ways of reaching that demographic.
I agree.
So to speak, you know. The elderly, they're no longer in the workforce.
No.
And because they're not in the workforce, then those persons will not get the information.
And that is where the persons now in operations within the Barbados Fire Service, and again, working with DOs
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
or the district or emergency organization,
mm-hmm.
working with those personnel,
mm-hmm.
training and such, like, is essential, because we can't do it all alone.
Absolutely.
We need those partners.
You know, it is interesting, and I'm glad that you reminded me of that, because I have the crew at Worthing. They're supposed to forge an alliance with some youth organizations in the Christchurch area.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last report or update I got that they were speaking to somebody from, I think, Christchurch. I'm speaking under correction.
Okay.
But I ain't getting updates recently.
Tell you a good group to work with, again, is the Rotaract Club. Mm-hmm. They are under the Rotary of Barbados, mm-hmm. a group of young people who are very enthusiastic when it comes to fire safety and getting the information out there to residents.
That's what we need. We don't have the resources to do it alone, you know? And if for 1 minute that we are thinking that we can, we are going to fail.
Very much so.
And that is why we're going to see more and more house fires going. And that's why we tend also to see more house fires than workplace fires, you know?
Yep.
I cannot leave the program without actually sharing some lashes on some of the workplaces, though.
Go ahead.
Especially, I've recognized that there are some residents that have like a shop
onto their homes.
Secondary construction.
Mm-hmm.
And they open a shop. I don't have any problems with that in principle. I don't have any problems. But there is a legal responsibility. You have still got to engage the chief fire officer. And when I say the chief fire officer, I don't mean...
necessarily the chief. Matter. Exactly.
I mean his agents, mm-hmm. so to speak. Where they are supposed to come.
Because you act on behalf of him.
Yes.
I act on behalf of him at the end of the day.
Correct. You know, so you said, I've got to get a fire safety inspection. You still must install. In other words, you got to make sure that you align yourself with the Health and Safety Act because you have people employed.
Thank you.
You know?
Not only employed, but in terms of, again, when you talk about these shops, sometimes you find that these shops have karaoke's and whatever else. They have different events at them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have sometimes in excess of 50 people
mm-hmm.
gathered there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything in place. If something should happen,
there you go.
How do you protect these people?
No, the fire service now got to respond from wherever we are coming from, which is Timbone and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, and we like to make the point all the time, a fire doubles its size in
every 30 seconds.
You know? So when you really think about from call to arrival, we we are looking at a pretty developed fire.
When we get there, we're looking at the exposures that have not been involved.
Exactly, you know. And then we also had one or two of them that had an inspection years ago.
Because people seem to think that inspection is a 10-year thing.
Yeah, you know, people believe that once they had an inspection in the past,
that speaks for
that
it.
That is covered for life. That is an annual thing.
Sometimes you go into these establishments and you see some appliances, wires broken, person using extension cords for, when I bought it was orange, now it black.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm paying.
And all of the plugs, you can see
burn marks at the sockets,
And nobody seemed to be taking that as a serious situation.
And this is one of the things that I spoke about on Saturday. When we look at the majority of the homes within Barbados would have been built over 30 years, 40 mm-hmm. years, mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. the case is. Mm-hmm. How many of us, and when it comes to, oh my gosh, senior moment.
Yeah. Rewiring.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, we make a good team, you know. But not too late. Yeah,
rewiring the
uh-huh.
home.
Mm-hmm. You know? And really and truly, homes are supposed to be rewired, I think, between 15 to 20 years.
20 years, thank you.
You know? But the downside to that, though,
mm-hmm.
how many poor homes
can afford to do it? Exactly.
Absolutely.
Be real.
You know?
But we talk about overloading, and majority of the times, persons think it is just a case that you're plugging appliances into every socket.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically speaking, these homes are overloaded. What you would have accounted for 30, 40 years back mm-hmm, then, mm-hmm. as I pointed out,
mm-hmm.
you probably had a fridge,
mm-hmm.
television, mm-hmm. and a radio. That's it.
A radiogram. Yes.
Now today, you have microwave, you mm-hmm. have washing machine,
absolutely.
You have dryer, you have about 3 or 4 televisions mm-hmm. within the home. Some people who can afford it have AC. Those mm-hmm. who don't have AC have about 3 or 4
room. But this phenomenon of global warming, you recognize
thank
that.
You have to keep cool.
Yeah.
You're going to keep
reality.
Cool.
That's a reality. And maybe we could talk about that in another program.
For sure.
The proper hydration and all that.
Yeah.
You know, but you are perfectly correct. When you are talking about the toaster oven and all of these things demand about 10 amps of electricity.
Thank you.
You know, and if your wiring is old or antiquated
mm-hmm.
wiring, you're asking for trouble.
Thank you.
You know, so we have got to pay a little bit more attention to these events. They will not really happen in the workplace. That is why we tend to have less workplace fires
mm-hmm.
than residential fires.
And you realize the commercial fires down.
Yeah, of course.
If we get one or two a year, we get enough.
But the home now.
Oh dear.
You know? And one of the things, because I still believe though that our statistics are skewed in that we present the amount of fires
mm-hmm.
to the public.
Mm-hmm.
We do not present the amount of houses.
Thank you. And I keep saying that over and over and I keep telling people that. One house, we account for A.
Mm-hmm.
The original.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But the original, A, B, C, D, E,
absolutely,
F, G.
Absolutely.
Although the alphabet.
And when you hear the news and you are hearing that a house was extensively damaged today by fire, that extensively damaged means that nobody can live in this house. That's the reality.
Thank you.
You know? So really and truly, I think that we might have to do a better job of bringing the real picture to the public to see how dire the situation is. And get it back to what we said initially. Government got the responsibility then, because if there's no insurance, you know, that's another discussion in itself.
Oh, that's another, yeah.
You know, maybe you could bring that insurance.
I can get somebody from the insurance company.
Yeah, of course, you know. If you have no insurance, then you are really on the hands of government. You know, but how many other people are on the hands of government waiting?
Exactly. Look at all the things that government has to do. And when we talk about government, we don't recognize that we're the government.
We're the government.
We are the government at the end of the day.
You're perfectly correct.
Because every project has to be budgeted for. Government doesn't make money. Mm-hmm. How does government make their money? By taxes.
Listen, if government make money, that can cause overheating in the economy. You know, we're talking about printing money.
Oh, yes.
You understand? And our government is a lot more responsible than that, you know? So we cannot be putting that additional pressure on government when we have a degree of control over the situation.
Agree.
You know? All by being circumspect. Mm-hmm. All by saying, this could. I wonder if this happens. Those are questions that we got to ask. It's just not a case of just coming home and blowing back and believe, oh.
So within the last couple of seconds that we have, we've educated what are some of the things that we can ask persons to do to help to better protect themselves.
Right. I would want for homeowners, I'm going to see if I could give out this 2 for the home and 2 for the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I would want for homeowners to engage the fire service a lot more. You know,
just when there's a fire in your area.
Not just when there's a fire. We talk about long before the fire.
Yes.
If you got fire extinguishers, bring the fire extinguisher by the fire station and let us look at it and tell you if it needs to be maintained or if it needs to be thrown away and purchase another one.
Correct.
You know, I would also want for you to invite us to come and take a look around and advise you. Those are 2 things that people
knowing there is confidentiality, we're not spreading your business out there, but
absolutely,
we are educating you to be better, be prepared.
Correct. Also for workplaces, I want for them to recognize that there's a law. You got the Shaw Act and you must follow that law, because at the end of the day, if anything happens, then you are the one that will have to face litigation if anybody is hurt.
And so it does state that within the law.
Absolutely. So thank you.
Thank you so very much. I mean, with you, this 30 minutes flies like 5 minutes. I don't get it. But anyhow, from the Barbados Fire Service, this has been the 311 Radio Show. I am Natasha Ford, your host. And of course, we want to thank Divisional Officer Patrick Edwards for joining us once again, for educating us, for ensuring that we understand how we can better protect ourselves. And as we always say within the Barbados Fire Service, fire prevention is our intention. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.